Beep. 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 Beep.
Is that your fucking sound?
What the fuck was that?
He's getting the bollocks. He's trying to get me. He's trying to get me mad. 1-2, 1-2.
You're
whoa.
Such an arsehole, Martin.
Yes. Right.
This will be fun.
Stuff, go ahead, yeah.
No, you're going to do the intro.
Hello and welcome to the Tortoise Shack. We're doing a little bit of a crossover here. We have Rachel with us. Hello,
hello.
Rachel is supping on a...
Appleman's.
Appleman's, whatever that is. Tony is having a... What are you having, Tony?
I'm on a gluten-free beer. That's how sold out I am.
The woke Olympics started here.
Oh, he's so woke. He's unreal.
I heard the word woke is done with, by the way.
Yeah, I think the term now is insomniac.
Oh, yeah. No.
Martin, good to see you.
Yeah,
we thought we lost you.
Yeah, no, not yet, not yet.
What did you say to Tony?
What did I say to Tony?
I'll
see you into the grave.
You all think that means that he's going to live longer. It doesn't. It means I'm going to live a lot shorter.
I'm kind of with these things. Well, you know, why should you go alone? Take your friends with you. You know?
I can't wait till we put you in this, like a coffin for you and then another coffin for Tony.
It's a sarcophagus.
You really did miss me milking it though. When you were in hospital, I was at the Shannon Christmas party and everybody was there. I was like, I literally was looking at them going, you know, yeah, no, seriously, if you could just head over to the Patreon account,
please click to support Martin's hospital shop account.
He needs pajamas. I have no pajamas.
Oh, that's a great thing to know.
So
please subscribe to the Patreon so we can give Martin pajamas once next year.
When I go into hospital, I kind of scandalize the nurses a little, you know?
You fucking love it.
No,
you fucking love it.
Rachel, Camille carrying a black bag with his gear in it, like, and he literally looked like, you know, do you remember Rats from the Flats when he was released from Mount Joy coming out with it? That was what you looked like.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, they said to me, you can go, and she's like, bag now. Stuff in. Out the door.
Tony, are you around for a lift?
Yeah. The phone is on the shoulder as I'm stuffing shit into the bag. Tony, come give me a lift. Get me the hell out of here.
Well, look, at least we carried you. You came out of the hospital on your own legs instead of in a box. That's always good.
I know. I'm out for a while. Let's hopefully stay out of it for a while.
I think so.
Yeah.
Just, listeners, thank you so much for the last, all the support. This has been a great year. Can I just want to say sincerely, our patrons, it wouldn't happen without you. It genuinely couldn't happen without you. It just couldn't. And it's been a mad year. Absolutely mad.
Yeah, it has been cracked.
I suppose, Martin, give us a highlight, mate.
See, it's all down to people you talk to and people you make a connection with. And one of the most interesting ones we've done this year is definitely Lenny Abrahamson. And I thought to be able to talk about life through the prism of movies, because I'm that generation. I'm that generation where everything in life has a movie reference. Everything.
That's not specific to your generation at all. We have our own references.
Listen, don't be trying to. X generation, we own this thing.
Oh, fuck off, Martin.
I will say about the Lenny pod is that there was a time there where Lenny was actually interviewing you, which was quite funny.
Yeah. It's something to have the tables turned, all right. But it prepares me for the next time.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. But he is, I know, a top guy. And I do, again, it's something I say all the time, is that I find when we're in the room, let's say when we're doing the echo chamber pod specifically,
Specifically.
when you're doing the boy out of Ballymun, but you can't take Ballymun out of boy.
The other one I couldn't say was Bachelofa. I'd always have a slice of Bachelofa.
Some Crips in the toilet, yeah.
now you're talking.
Which I cousin't.
We used to talk, you turn around and it would always be the case where I'd sit there and I'd go, you know, thank God Martin is in the room, because when Martin's in the room and it's that sort of more personable side, because I'm the guy who goes, well, I know the date of that. You know?
I'd say you were really annoying in history class.
Oh, listen, I'm really annoying all the time.
That's true.
Give us, go on, Rachel, tell us.
Oh, fucking hell. It's really weird because the, obviously, Disturbing the Peace is only in its infancy. So, but I think Saoirse McHugh at the show, because I'd never done a live show and you were like, come on, we do a live show. And I was like, what do you mean we're doing a live show? And suddenly Ken Early was there, Tara Flynn was there, Caroline West was there. And Ken Early's like one of my journalistic heroes. Like, I really, really like him as a writer.
Actually, the funny part, you said, if Ken Early shows up, I'm going to freak. And I went, no, he is coming. And you were like, no, he's not. And no, he is.
I think since that interview, I've been on the, I am on the lookout for a Christmas present for Saoirse. It's one of those big sponge hands.
Oh, Martin. Martin.
Jesus.
She will knock you out.
I hope so.
I met her boyfriend on Saturday and he'll knock you out as well.
And her brother's quite tall as well.
And gorgeous. Eden, if you're listening.
Yeah. No, but honestly, the live show was kind of gas and I really enjoyed it. And Saoirse was just great crack and I really hope she gets elected next year.
Yeah, she was brilliant. And that was actually, that was one of the moments for me, because the moment, what it was actually knowing that we went and I said to Mark, come on, we'll just do it ourselves. Let's just do the live thing ourselves. And I was standing to the side, you were on stage with Saoirse McHugh, and I looked around the room with people who I respect and I thought a lot of, and I went, oh my God, they're all here. We pulled this off.
Yeah.
And that was a moment, like, there's no question that was a moment. And when I, again, you couldn't be, I don't know, pride isn't the right word, but certainly when you look around and you're just seeing the people who kind of gave you their time and gave you, and then actually came on board and believed in it. And now it's actually become an entity there. And then, you know, and you've done it successfully and you didn't have Agen Promotions or whoever it is behind it, and you just did it yourself, you know? So, excuse me, I suppose what I would say is that that would be for me now a serious learning that, that, you know,
well, I think
real.
We've kind of learned, that, you and I certainly, Tony, that, you know, we want more engagement. And the way to do that is with a live audience.
Oh, yeah.
It is definitely the way to do it.
You can pick on Jack every audience, is it?
On Jack, because he was like, I knew Jack wasn't the one that'd pick on me back. You know what I mean?
You're such a bully.
You know, you pick on Lorcan, sir, he's just going to open deck you. So I just said, no, Jack.
I think there was a great moment in the second live show we did about comedy, which the episode hasn't come out yet, maybe, depending on this one, but it was Lorcan and Aidan Regan came up to me afterwards and they were like, what does being cancelled mean?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is amazing. I get to explain this whole thing to them.
To
Aidan Regan, with the smartest man I've ever come across in my life.
It's no harm that he's as handsome as well, is there? Just no harm.
I thought it was lovely that he got so dressed up for the evening.
It was like he was going to an audition as an extra in Peaky Blinders.
That's my Christmas outfit.
or when you go to the Oireachtas Committee.
Martin.
No, let's not go there.
No.
Give us a low light.
Low light of the year. I thought, and again, it was kind of trumpeted today. I thought the political discourse took a huge dive this year. And I thought it took a huge dive, and it's cheap shots. And it's fash for cash and it's easily done and you're appealing to the lowest common denominator. And it's, you know, Tony and I, if we wanted to make money, we could go fash for cash in the morning. I am telling you, we would rake it in.
Oh, you would.
We would rake it in. And that's really the problem, is that if you're trying to be straight with people and show them the picture as it is, not as we're trying to colour it in, that you won't do as well financially as somebody who'll just stand up there and F everybody out of it, you know. It's disheartening to see that. And it's disheartening to see that particularly today, it's just all those tropes back out again. Look, 3-year-old kids aren't radicalized. You know, if you can get them to watch the TV, you're doing okay. You know, it's absolute freaking nonsense. Nonsense. You know, and that's a low light.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I think, like, there's been a lot of low lights this year, both personally and just politically in general. I do agree with you. I think particularly the Noel Grealish comments really, really upset me. And then we had Dean Van Wyn on to talk about racism, and that was a really good pod, but it just, it feels like there's something there a little bit. There's something kind of growing there, which I really, really dislike.
I think there's something festering.
Yeah, festering is a really good word,
and,
yeah.
And if, you know, unless absolutely stamped out, stamped out, and again, there are no two sides. You know, Antifa, and I have to say this over and over again, Antifa stands for anti-fascist. Now, one is either Antifa or one is pro-fa. Pick your side.
I'm gonna talk about something else, but just on that topic, being at the Rally for Peace, that was actually quite disturbing to see so many people so comfortable outside Leinster House to display, just say, bigoted, homophobic.
I know.
Heavily racist comments.
When RTE covered that, I mean, they had people from both sides, whatever. First person they had was Hernan Kelly going, mass immigration drives up rents. So that's nothing to do with free speech. That's just openly racist. And the fact that he can get away with saying that on the national broadcaster just shows, I think, where we are. Like, it's all fine to have balance, whatever RTE's and any kind of broadcaster's definition of balance is not the actual definition of balance, but like, how do you combat that now? Like you said, like, to have these people outside Leinster House openly making these awful comments about migrants, about LGBTQ people, like, about everyone. Like, the fuck is that about? Like,
and the only way the only way we have to do is to actually call it out, call it for what it is.
Yeah.
Let's not allow them to say this is a free speech rally. It's the, you know, well, what is it that you feel that you can't say, and why do you want to say it?
Yeah,
you know, because that we have to keep repeating that, because the simple thing is they no one is taking away your right to free speech. No one.
It's just the consequences of your actions.
Exactly. We don't want, you cannot stand up and call for acts of violence or hatred to be done to other people. And it's, and unfortunately, it's not just, like, it's become a global thing. It's validated.
Yeah.
You know,
I also think Brexit kind of was a low point this year. And not necessarily because it's Brexit, it's because of all the crap that goes with it. It was nice to see Trump impeached.
Doesn't mean anything.
Though. Well, look, it does. It means something. He's only the third president ever. I mean, the first president to get impeached fell into a trap when
is the guy in the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnson, isn't it?
Yeah, he fell into a trap. And it was to do with slavery. He was trying to slow down aspects of recompense for slavery. Look, whether it was a clever move, wise move, in hindsight, nobody really knows. He didn't do any great harm, and it was a trap he fell into. Then we had blowjob bail. We know what he got. We know what he got. And of course,
you missed Nixon.
Nixon was never impeached.
He resigned before.
So I listened to fucking Slow Burn. All right, I know my fucking shit about it.
Okay, let's say that was we'll call it a personal transgression, but was it an?
It's fucking sexual harassment. Carry on.
Okay, yeah. even if we call it sexual harassment, it wasn't politics related.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
What Trump has done is all politics, right? He just, I mean, somebody did think, how many lies has he told? 26,000 lies since the beginning of the year. I mean, at some stage, somebody has to say, no, we know you're doing this.
Yeah, but he won't get impeached by the Senate.
But hang on, but Boris Johnson just got elected and lied all the way through. Didn't even produce a manifesto because he knew that would be filled with lies. Yeah. They produced a 4-page document and get Brexit done was all it really said. So, you know.
And also, to move away from race and fashion for a second, I think the housing crisis has really just... I look at Fine Gael and I look at Fianna Fáil and I look at what's happened to, like, I got a new tattoo yesterday and I was in Colourworks chatting to the girl there and she was just like, they're donating 20% of their profits in December to the ICCH, which I thought was class. And she goes, there's just so many of them now. And then another girl who was there, Shauna, who did my tattoo, was like, oh, well, you know, these people are starting to care now. It's like, it's had to get this bad for people to really care. And you look at the rents and the fact that Fine Gael have attached a money message to Sinn Féin's rent freeze bill. And it's like, that's a really low point for me. Cause I know I'm looking at like Megan, who I had on the pod about emigrating. Megan Ward is leaving. Michael Fry is going to London. Yeah. Like, this sounds like I love Michael Fry. I don't love Michael Fry. I just really admire him as a person. I just feel like there's a lot of people my age who are going to leave and not come back. And I think that's going to be, have a really detrimental impact on our society in the long run.
We're losing. There's no question. It's hollowing out of a generation. Like I say before, I've said it about my generation because it is my generation. We were the ones that pulled the ladder up after us. We caused the crash. I know I helped cause the crash. And then I went, and then I turned around and went at the end of it. Well, thank God I still have a decent wedge coming in. And
I don't know, Tony, over. Look, the good.
Sorry, lads.
There is a thing where, you know, the best always got out. And that's nothing new. That I mean, I left school in late 80s. And just everybody just got on a boat or a plane and just went. Mm. And that was it. And the big mistake we all made was coming freaking back.
Well, yeah, because my dad has two siblings and both emigrated and never come back.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about coming back because they live in the UK. And obviously they're like Tory majority. But no, that might not happen. But when you look at everyone who left, it's like they did the right thing. And yeah. I can't say that those who are emigrating now aren't doing the right thing.
I mean, I've a brother in America, brother in Australia, sister in the UK. They've all been there 20 years plus. Mm. 20 years plus. There's no way they're coming back here. And why would they?
No,
why
would what they? Is there?
And I said it during the week, you know, the gulf between what this country is and what it could easily be.
Is massive.
Is massive. And it's, you're not saying these are big leaps. These are just little things that can make this country such a better place. And you were saying about Fine Gael and housing. They've set their cap now. They're going to get out.
Mm.
They're not going to do anything radical now until the election is called and see what way the numbers roll. And they don't much mind if somebody else is put in there to solve the issue.
Oh, yeah.
Because then they'll start pointing the finger and going, oh, waste of money, blah, blah. You know this is the game. I mean, they're fighting at the moment about who voted when. We don't give a shit. It's all under the whip anyway. You might as well just send in one person to do the vote. It's a nonsense thing. It's a nonsense thing. And I'm not saying they should get away with it, but be more cynical. It doesn't really matter who presses the buttons.
I suppose the big thing that bothers me, and of course housing bothers me a lot, but what really gets to me is the money that they throw at this, and they throw it in buckets, and they throw it at the wrong areas, and they don't, and they ignore their own reports, they ignore the Irish government's economic evaluation
constantly,
they ignore the fiscal advisory council
constantly.
You know, like Seamus Coffey came here. There was nothing for Seamus Coffey to come and do a podcast with us because we're a bit more out there than the average. But he came here and he spoke about it. And yeah, he sends these reports in and then the minister goes, yeah, that's great advice from the Fiscal Advisory Council. And then they go and they do a budget and they ignore all the...
Yeah.
And that's what really gets me. It's that it doesn't get through. And I suppose one thing I've learned this year that I couldn't really put into words previously is that public opinion is a commodity now.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I think that's where we are now.
When you see Brexit, you have to say... Public opinion was captured, absolutely captured. The result didn't make sense based on the number of people that are suffering over there and some of the post-Brexit interviews. You have people, I voted Boris because of homelessness. And you're looking, you're going, what? Seriously?
Yeah, there was a guy, I think he was interviewed on the BBC. He goes, you know, the shop's closing around us and blah, 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 blah. And I'm voting for change, so I voted Conservative. And you're like,
that goes to my point. If you're coming up against in the UK, you know, the Sky News, the Daily Mail, all of these pro Brexit, pro Tory buttons, you know, billionaires own them. We're not much better over here.
No, I don't think we are.
No, but what worries me is the fact that people say, well, because there's journalists doing good work. That's like, where's the journalist who said that, you know, the government are being inefficient on the hospital spending? Oh, it's there, all right. But it quickly, it's superseded by some other story. And then a minister saying, like, take for example, what's going to happen now with Dara Murphy?
Oh, yeah.
An independent.
Nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. And the gall, the absolute gall of the Taoiseach to say that he's going to stand up there and he's going to say, Pascal Donoghue, who actually, they have to keep rolling Pascal out because he's the only person who's a good performer, whether
it's. Oh, yeah. Seriously? Public services card. Yeah, let's wait and see.
He's a much better.
He performs well at the media, though, Martin.
Absolutely. You are falling prey to your own prejudices if you think he's not the best that they have. He absolutely is.
But he's not blemish-free, Tony.
But no one's saying he's blemish-free.
I'm saying they now have realised that, and they will. You'll see him more pushed to the front as the election comes than even the Taoiseach. There was a time when they were workshopping the phrase, let Leo lead.
Yeah, I know.
And they realised that went down like a lead balloon.
I wonder why.
Yeah, and because he's not the sum of his parts. He said yesterday, he said to Pat Kenny that he's distressed by homelessness while he looks like a T-1000. Like he has all the emotion of a Terminator. I didn't watch it
because I said to myself, what's the point? I already know what this is going to be like.
This is why I opened a second can, because this is turning very downhill very quickly.
Come on now, come on. Tell me, Martin, right? Straight out. If in next year, whether it's a pod or it's something you want to do, what do you want to do?
Ooh, next year, what do I want to do?
Survive.
that's kind of top of the list, I have to say. Second on the list is quick, painless revolution.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. Jesus Christ.
Third on the list, well, I said at the beginning of this, of 2019, that I was going to crack bogus self-employment. And I said this was the year. I told you this was the year I was going to crack it. And I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have cracked it. And it's over now, bar the shouting. You know, I've done it. So next year, I want to wrap that all up. I just simply want to wrap it all up and say, did all that work. There it is. Off it goes, and then I want Trinity to give me an honorary doctorate in bogus. You think I'm messing?
Oh, no,
so we know you're not.
I want a doctorate in bogus self-employment because nobody knows it better. Nobody. So that's my aim for next year is to get, and then I can go to my mom because my mom has these pictures on the wall. And it's my brothers and sisters, and they're all cap and gown, cap and gown, cap and gown. And right in the middle is me with long hair, earring. You know, it's like, oh, there's one in every family. You
know? Oh, that's amazing.
So I want the cap and gown to stick up into that slot.
We just make sure it's honorary now. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Sooner or later, the unions are going to have to come on board, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to need to know somebody who knows what they're talking about and not all the bullshit they're going on with at the moment.
Well, I suppose that's one thing to aim for. I'd be happy enough if you do more actual, you know, patron shout outs. Rachel,
God. I don't know. Like, the aim probably next year is to make you as uncomfortable as possible, Tony, because all the pods that I've done so far have been on, you know, things that are less talked about. So I'm looking forward to doing more stuff about like OnlyFans and basically being a millennial now, I think it's a really interesting time to be a millennial, but like it's a really interesting time to be growing up in Ireland or growing up. I'm still growing up, it's fine. But that kind of stuff. And obviously next year for me is going to be fucking awful because my mom will probably pass away. So that'll be a fun thing to digress through in these personal therapy pods that I do. But I think, honestly, I want to keep it simple and just, I want to keep going with the pod, and I'd like to get to like 50 episodes, which I think I can do.
Oh, yeah.
And get a few more pieces in the Irish Times maybe, and then find some poor fucker to go out with. That'd be a nice thing to be able to do in the year, but like, who knows?
Oh, that's I would say you'll have.
So Eden, if you're out there.
Yeah. You'll easily hit 50 because we said you'd do 10.
No, we said we'd do 6.
Yeah, and then
we're on episode 23, I think.
At least. It's been a phenomenal hit rate. I mean, I know I go on about it, but like the even like Reboot has done 53 episodes this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
53 episodes. Of from Naomi Klein, you know, people who are active in climate and people who are active in housing. You know, I know Rory's not here; he's not feeling well. But my God, like
he's done a phenomenal job.
He's now he's leveraged into a regular enough column in the Irish Independent where he writes about what he wants to write about. There's no, you know, and he's able to talk about housing. It's actually able to counter that narrative that we talk about. And some of the guests that we've managed to speak to last year, like, I mean, me and you got to speak to Sinead.
That was wild. That was fucking wild.
But you just go, you're like, it is insane that the doors it opens. Like, I recorded my third or fourth podcast with Don Foster recently on a text message going, and shows the benefit of having the studio upstairs that you can just run upstairs and do it. But I suppose what I'd love to see from the platform is that we actually make it, that we are able to keep punching up, okay?
Do you know what I like best about it? And it's not actually doing the podcasts. It's that you can bring people together who should have been brought together a very long time ago. Yeah.
Are you talking about you and the head of SWAI, Kate McGrew, because she told you that you'd be really good on phone sex?
Yeah, well,
because that was the fun. I've never seen you so happy than when she told you that.
That was our little secret. Kate's little secret. Kate reckons I should be doing sex calls.
Hello, so this is Martin. Tell me.
30 quid for 3 minutes.
You do know what this sleazeball has as his Instagram handle, don't you? Voice like chocolate. So he's not exactly shy and reserved.
That's what chocolate is like. Is like a fudge? Is it like a double decker? Like, what is it?
He's dressed like a...
I'd be kind of lost now. Where did I leave me socks? Which drawer are they in?
Some people get off on that. Yeah. Apparently, there's a very lucrative market in if you send feet pictures to men. Someone told me this, and I was like, and I have very ugly feet. I have horn toes. And I was like, if any man gets off to a picture of my feet, he should be put on the list.
Well, I'm told I'm not allowed to post pictures of my feet anymore.
You're not allowed to post pictures of yourself without any clothes on anymore. That's the fucking deal. If patrons sign up, you have to stop posting pictures of yourself.
I tell you now, that's half our brand. I'm telling Tony from the waist up.
Actually, do you know what else I like this year?
Go on.
I think I have activized Tony or enabled Tony or focused Tony to be more of an activist. He's becoming more and more of an activist.
He's definitely
all
your
the
woke
time.
Dad. I give him
oh that. Yeah, your woke dad. That, and that's the sad part, isn't it? That is absolutely the sad part.
Why is that sad?
No, it's just kind of, it is that, the part, we keep saying it, we repeat it over. Like when you bring Jade Wilson and these people in who I would not come into their orbit, you know, and then you make friends with people you understand, and that makes me 5% more I know about
I know,
things.
Yeah.
You get me? And
yeah,
it,
I do.
And it just adds to that. And it's so it's, and you know, it's because, and that's what's been really cool. And I have to say, and I know this is really personal to me, but I said it yesterday, but the kick you get because it's here. Of seeing, you know, you guys come in, my youngest is there, she sees the guests, she wants to know who they are, what they're doing, da-da-da-da-da. And I go, can you imagine in 10 years' time when she's sitting around that she's going, oh, yeah, no, sure, I know them. They were always in the house, you know.
And see, my kids are older and it's got, who did you talk to, Dad, so-and-so? Yeah, not famous enough.
Like, I love that your kids are setting you standards.
Yeah. You know, it's like, if I interviewed the Kardashians, what would you talk to them about?
Well, my mother, the most affecting episode I did this year was obviously the one with Gavin Casey where we talked about grief, because obviously he lost his dad or whatever. And it was the only episode I've gone back and listened to because I learn something new every time I listen to it. And also it's really annoying because it was a really popular episode and I'm pretty sure that's down to the fact that Gavin has a Cork accent, but whatever. My mother listened to it. And she was there listening to it on the couch and I was like, oh, this is a real big deal. Fuck, this is an episode about her. And all she said about the whole thing was that Rachel, you swear a lot and he was great. And I was like, I know!
That episode was a surprise to me.
Why?
Because I thought it would be more...
sad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was more, but it wasn't more sad. It talked about just I don't know if it's resilience or it's just...
I think there's an air of resilience about it, yeah.
There was, because there was that moment of going, well, I actually did nothing for 2 years and that was enough.
But what I loved about that episode was that was Gav's idea. I had put up a tweet about that millennial article about millennial grief, and he came to me and said, I'll do this with you. And I've said this to him before, we've chatted about it since, but like, I'm forever grateful that he did that, because it's a very unlikely story, but an unusual story for someone in his position to talk about. And I know it was very personal for him, and I'm really glad that he was able to share that with me.
No, it was a great episode. No, you've done great work, and honestly, I know, but if we watch the people here, and I'm always confused at how we get away with it. I genuinely am, because, like, you know, we talk to people and we say, I suppose it is putting in the work. Because it is it's a lot of work. Like, you got to promote it yourselves. You got to create it yourself. You got to introduce it yourself. When the people arrived at the last live show, Martin, what were the faces like when they realized we were on the door as well as going upstairs to be on the mic?
Absolutely. We do the door. We take the blue M&Ms out for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know,
we buy the pints. We set up the stage.
Martin puts the chairs out. Like, I do
actually, and I try and get a little curve on them. Honest to God, I try and get a little curve on the row so that you kind of have that homely feeling. So you're not sitting in straight rows.
Can I share a favourite moment, actually? When we did that second live show and you had Hugh Brennan, right?
That was amazing.
And I decided, I opened the night and I sat down beside Glenn Fitzpatrick, who I'd never met before, but I knew from Twitter.
Yeah.
And Hugh said that, you know, the younger generation needs to get out there and protest. And at the exact same time, myself and Glenn pitchfork going, what the fuck? And I just saw your face turn to be like, let's just calm it down a teeny weeny bit. Because me and Glenn were about to kick off.
I went woke. Not that woke, daddy.
Shush down, children. Yeah. Shush.
Someone said to me, how did it go? I said, well, it got a bit boisterous. It was terrific, because I actually, again, you see an event like that, and like you say, there was the answers to what we need to be doing for housing in the room.
Yeah.
And that's what kind
Orla Hegarty. Someone needs to put Orla Hegarty in charge of housing.
I'll go back to when we started doing the podcast, and I knew Lorcan, and I said to Lorcan, will you come in and do the pod? And he said to us, Martin, he said, give Orla a day, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he said, I can talk and I can tell you about X, Y, and Z. He said, but if you get Orla in, She's the real brains behind the operation. And you know what? He's not wrong. And she's so impressive. And again, even in the last, I'm going to go back to the last live show before that, where Dawn Russell from Anna Liffey.
Oh, she was incredible.
Stole the show.
She was incredible.
Yeah. And then you just, like, you meet these people and then you're going, oh my God, how cool is this? You know, and
anyone who could teach Ken Early a thing or two is okay by me.
Oh yeah. He got
schooled.
He did. I'm not sure he accepts it, but that's just his belligerence.
But it's nice to see that that space is there.
Yeah.
That space is there on the left where people can, there can be intersectional on issues, where we can discuss all of this at length, where we can look at the solutions and not just say what's best for society. The left is now so woke that we're at the stage where we're going, well, actually it's fiscally cleverer to do it this way and show how it, you know, for a long time we appealed on the basis of what's right.
Yeah.
And now we can appeal. I mean, Christmas dinner, you were all going to have that relative. Oh, I'm voting for Fianna Gael. They're doing a great job. Yeah, very great.
Nobody in my family has done that.
Okay, I get them.
My brother voted green.
I get them. And usually, you know, you can say to them, oh, there's 10,000. Don't care. Money. They know how to save money. This year you get to go, actually, Hugh Brennan can build a house
for much cheaper,
$100,000 cheaper than Fine Gael can.
And Hugh Brennan probably won't build a whitewater rafting centre for no reason.
Oh God, we have to mention the whitewater.
We do. I think it deserves a special mention.
I do.
Because, as someone pointed out beautifully yesterday, about the FAI asking for 18 million, as someone on Twitter, and I can't remember the name, I'm so sorry, goes, they're only asking for 18 printers.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, but, and this is,
asking for 23 printers for my wire.
I've had this issue about the FAI, and I think, okay, look, fairness, there's a story there, and it's a good story, but it's.
Mark Tighe deserves a fucking statue as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, it is a good story, but there are fucking bigger stories out there.
No, I'm not having this. I'm not having this, Martin. The FAI is a crucial backbone to so many things in this country. If it's underage football, if it's the national team, the women's team, it gives so much to everyone. And the fact that one man and his cronies have been led to drive Irish football into the ground for 62 million. Are you kidding me?
I agree with you, Rachel, 100%. Mark Tighe, who I've had the pleasure of talking with, did phenomenal work. And not just Mark, other journalists.
Yeah.
But he really got under the skin of them.
Yeah, he did.
In fairness, and it took, there was court cases. To finish that story out took bottle.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there are obviously more important things.
No, I'm just saying. It's not about importance. What it is though, Rachel, is because it's sport, because it means
people
so much
more
to everyone. Yes. We care so much.
We do.
And something like a children's hospital overrun.
Yes. Oh, I know.
It's so abstract.
Yeah.
But for the nerve of a minister to stand up and go, I think John Delaney needs, and you're going,
but in fairness, you can't imagine, a children's hospital not being built is something that is very abstract to somebody.
Yeah.
The League of Ireland and the FAI and the national team suddenly not existing, that's a very real, tangible thing, which is fucked up. Mm. But that's how we kind of relate to things, because like, I don't know, if you suddenly see, like, the League of Ireland is really important and it's been fucking thrown to the side by the FAI, but now the idea that it might not exist because one man got so fucking greedy with the worst haircut I have ever come across, which is not the point, but anyone with that hair should not be allowed.
I suppose it brings it back to me, you know, that story could have been told a very long time ago if we didn't have such crappy defamation laws.
Exactly, and that's
could have been told
thing.
A very long time ago.
And we have failed. That was one thing we failed to cover properly this
defamation
year.
Defamation laws?
Yeah.
Mm.
We did speak to Ken Fox about it before.
I think there is a really interesting pod for you guys to do next year, is to get a range of journalists in and see how hamstrung these libel laws might. Because you saw it with the Conor McGregor stuff, where the New York Times could report it, but no one here. You could just say Irish sports star, who everyone knows what that means.
Yeah.
But the libel laws are really hamstringing a lot of journalists.
Isn't there a case now where who's being sued in the Irish courts because the claims it'll be easier to get a claim?
And that is your man who's suing BuzzFeed.
That's right.
Who has been allegedly been groping people.
Yeah. Now, so, you know, to me, and I know after speaking to a few journalists, it's in the background, it's always the biggest issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
The biggest issue. And it is stymieing news.
I'll tell you the other reason there's no action on it. It's because it suits the politicians.
Well, it suits the wealthy.
No, the politicians as well, because they could act immediately to start looking to legislate for it, but they don't. Why do you think this nonsense about Dara Murphy? It's what Ken Fox said. Nothing's going to change because they set up the expenses to say that we don't want you to be able to look into us.
I know. Yeah.
And once he resigned, Sipo can't look at him.
But the cheek of my local TD to stand up the day after voting with I think you should do something.
Which one is this, Barney? Is this one of those times with the whole block?
No, but you get my point. But it works, Rachel, because they get their name in the papers and they say, oh, well, at least he spoke out. He only spoke out because now it's politically expedient.
But the same politician also made a great name for himself over the summer talking about the FAI.
Now I'm going to push us on a little.
Go on.
Predictions for the coming 12 months.
Oh,
Rachel,
fucking hell.
Now, give me political, social and personal.
Political, I think the election is going to happen probably around February, March. I had Sean Defoe in. That'll be out on the 3rd of January, so you can listen to the political predictions then. I think Fine Gael are going to lose some seats. I think Fianna Fáil are going to win more, and I think it's going to be some sort of weird supply confidence and supply agreement again, depending on how Labour do. Nice one, Tony. Socially is really, really interesting because I think we're at a really interesting time where we see the kind of what's happening in London is trickling down. So there was a really great article about all the girls who are selling clothes on Depop are going to be selling nudes on OnlyFans in 3 months' time, which is exactly what's happened. And fair play to them, we're going to do an episode on it next year because I'm really interested in the whole thing. So socially, I don't know. Because, you know, I think it's a hard one to predict. I would like to see socially the element of turfiness that's come into the Irish media to be stamped out immediately. Because I've seen what happened today with J.K. Rowling coming out and saying that she stood with your one Maya Foster.
Who'd lost her case.
Because basically Maya Foster was insisting on calling any trans person by their dead sex, I think is the term. Dead name, even though they transitioned. I don't agree with that. I would like to see any turfiness in Ireland shut down immediately socially. I think that's a really thing we need to stamp out now. Personally, I think 2019 was a shit show, personally. I think 2020 is going to be slightly better. It's going to be a long year. It's going to be a really hard year. But what I have really liked about 2019 is that I found the 2EE, and people like Steve O'Rourke and Paul Hosford have been very good friends to me. And Twitter has been a really good friend to me as well. So I know when there's no getting around it, mum will pass in 2020 and that's going to be really awful. But personally, I think that I will probably get through it with a lot of help.
You will.
With you guys, with Twitter, and I love you all. But see, I've had a can and a half now, so I'm very sentimental.
Well, I'm going to help you out here. Tony, you
go on,
should.
Tony.
Politically, I think we're looking at a very quick general election. I think we're looking at, you've already seen all the Micheál Martin has played a blinder behind the scenes for the last few months in terms of building political allegiances.
He has.
There was a great picture of him, if you saw at the Count Centre, where the Taoiseach was standing with his failed candidate in Dublin Northwest, and Micheál was standing off to the side already with Brendan Howland. going, see, you and me, Brendan, we got this.
I think, yeah, Labour could do well. Labour could go in.
I think Labour and the Greens are going to make up the next government with Fianna Fáil. I think that's an obvious next step. My other prediction on that is that not that Fianna Fáil are going to be anything other than Fianna Fáil opportunist, but I do know, having had Dara O'Brien in here and wrung his neck in terms of his housing policy, that it will be a better housing policy than the one that Owen O'Brien has been. Oh, sorry.
Owen Murphy.
Oh, again, I suppose aspirationally, I would have loved to see someone like Owen O'Brien as a housing minister.
Yeah.
But for, what was it?
Socially.
Socially.
Come on, socially, woke dad, tell us what's going
to
happen.
I really want to see that locked out generation actually attack, join the dots, as we say, Martin, all the time, where they can say the housing crisis is enough is enough. The pay inequality, all of that is all linked to growing inequality. And what we need to see is actual people get out on the streets. When you were there, like we've been to many's a march this year, and we've seen, sadly, not exactly the greatest numbers. When you think we mobilised over 100,000 people for Irish Water, and you can't get 10,000 people out for 10,000 people homeless, it's kind of upsetting.
There was about 10,000 out at the housing march back before the summer.
There was, but like,
because I was at that one.
I've walked them. I want to feel that energy is going to be the one that's going to carry the change. Because, and I mean this, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the only thing they care about is especially the current administration, they just care about their image.
Yeah.
So if you can make them look bad, beat them in the court of public opinion, that's how you beat them. And if enough people do it and make them look bad, they will actually move on policy, because, yes, they're wedded. Someone put up a thing the other day with Fine Gael's five values. Did anybody see this?
No.
Oh, my God. Fine Gael's five values. It only contained one value. The one value was integrity. The rest were all market related. It was enterprise, entrepreneurship. And it was literally, none. And it reminded me of when the Taoiseach became Taoiseach. He said that twice in his first statement, he said that communications is a virtue. And I said, no, it's not. It's just a means of communicating with other people. Again, they speak in the language of business and corporatocracy. So they're caught. But they do care about their image. So if we get enough people out, we can embarrass them. And then I suppose personally, I would love to see, that in the next 6-7 months that I'd love to have a studio in the garage. I genuinely would. I'd love to see us develop to the point where we're putting out more. We have a regular podcast, and we're helping amplify and platform as many diverse and underrepresented people. More from the people you don't hear enough of, and less from the people you hear too much of. I know that's a bit cheesy, but the simple fact is, when we started this out, we took a punt on it. We found a little bit of a niche, and we've carved into there. And now, like it or lump it, you're stuck with us.
And now they keep bringing women in to make them a bit more like balanced.
Absolutely. more women, more people of colour, more minorities, please.
Yes. Martin, go on.
Politics, election, yes. What's going to happen? Not much. We'll tweedledum and tweedledee our way through it. as you said, there'll be some sort of you scratch my bollocks, I'll scratch yours kind of arrangement.
Jesus, Martin, the millennials aren't scratching bollocks anymore. We've moved beyond that.
They swipe left or right.
So
there's a whole thing about pegging I'm going to take you through at some point.
I know what pegging is.
Oh, God.
Quick, we keep talking about pegging. We'll make
God, you think he invented everything. He didn't invent everything.
Come on, will you?
Anyway.
Sorry, go on.
The big thing about that is you've two elections left before you hit point of no return on climate change. Mm. So that means once that election's over, you've only one election left before you reach point of no return. So no, we're not going to make it. We are not going to be able to do what needs to be done. And everything that happened this last 12 months, you can bring it all to, well, how closer do we get to avoiding irreversible climate change? We didn't get one inch closer. In fact, we're further away
than we were
at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
So expect no real change for 5 years. And then after that, when you're just about hitting your 30s, they are going to nail you into the ground for every penny you have. You are going to be poor and destitute. He'll be an old man. They'll float him off on an iceberg. That'll be the end of him. They'll just machine gun everybody out of the way. And they'll do it that way, because that's where it's at. So I say Planet B. Planet
Mars.
B is the way to go. Find somewhere else to live, because what we've got in power, not just in Ireland, but across the entire globe, haven't a snowball's chance in hell of saving
the
planet.
Wow, this is supposed to be an uplifting Christmas episode, Martin. What the fuck?
That's politics.
Right. And socially?
Socially, I think there's a recession on the way.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, and I think 2012 is going to be the year
2020.
Sorry, 2020. Shut up.
I'm the one who's drinking cans.
Yeah, I know.
So I think 2020 is going to be the year of the recession. And as always, the people who always get hurt will get hurt more. And those who always make money will always make money. And the gap will increase. And sooner or later, it'll reach critical mass. And those with nothing will go, why are we putting up with this crap? Let's eat the rich. And we'll eat the rich.
Okay, and personally?
Well, personally, man, come on.
Personally, I will still be here this time next
year. Nice. We love to see
it. I will still be here this time next year. Yeah, that's it.
Listen, folks, it has been an unreal 12 months. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've listened to our Echo Chamber, Disturbing the Peace reboot pod. We're hoping Ruth is back in January.
Hopefully.
With us. They're scheduled podcasts. So,
also, I do have one small gripe.
Go on.
Simon McGarr, friend of the pod, told me that you don't promote Disturbing the Peace in your podcast, which you actually need to start doing that if I want to get some more listeners, because podcast is better than the lads and there's more sex in it.
What doesn't get promoted?
Disturbing the Peace. I promote you guys in my intro. You guys don't promote Disturbing the Peace.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't even do the Patreon shout. It's like,
I shall take that on board.
Please do.
And I shall.
Good.
And there's one other thing. We're going to have a sex line coming out of here very shortly.
Not in this house.
But do subscribe to the Patreon, because as the lad said, it does keep the mics on. And if you all know Tony and Martin the way I know Tony and Martin, which I know you all do, you know that they're excellent lads who've been platforming the people who need the most platforming for a long time. You should help us out and you should subscribe to them, because they're good lads. Even though Tony won't stop posting topless pictures of himself, they're good lads.
Have a nice Christmas.
Have a great Christmas.
Be good to each other, and we'll see you in the new year.